Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man. I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
I've never been told I'm crazy. Ever.
I'm not even going to justify that with a response.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
I feel like there's a karaoke bet somewhere in here, but we'll leave that for a second. I want to hear you sing Like a Virgin so damn bad.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
I think you're a good thing all the way around, Evan.
Well, you are a smart man. God, I hated saying that, even though, you know, it was a compliment at me.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome into the Friends with Fantasy Benefits football podcast. I'm your host, Ben Brentz. I'm joined by the lovely Evan Peterson. How are you doing, sir?
Lovely. Ben, stop. People are listening. I'm doing great. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. It's nice to have you be able to join for the football podcast. Unfortunately, we're not able to be joined by Mr. Eric Mackey today, but hopefully he will be here next week. But, you know, Evan, I'm happy that we're able to get this football season started out on a good foot. It's nice that we're going to be able to do Wednesday podcasts together. I'm looking forward to it, buddy. What about you?
I'm ready for football season. Week one was phenomenal. Went and watched the Falcons ride out a close one in Chicago. I'm sunburnt. I'm happy there's football on TV. Let's do it.
Yes. Why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached on Twitter before we get started?
At FWFB. Pretty much just find me getting drunk and yelling at the TV on Sundays, yelling through the Twitter machine at the TV.
And I can be reached at BBrennisFWFB on Twitter. I'm looking forward to being able to talk every week, Evan, about this. Obviously, there was some surprises, some disappointments, and, you know, obviously there were some good things that came out of week one. But why don't we just kind of jump right in, and we're going to be talking about some things that grabbed our attention, and we want to be able to give as much fantasy insight to this as possible. So why don't we start off with the Colts offense? The Colts got absolutely hammered by the Los Angeles Rams. In your opinion, is this offense something to avoid until Andrew Luck comes back? Or is this something that, you know, they just happen to play the Rams, who just moved, they have a brand new head coach, you know, they got everything out of the way, and Tolzien tried to keep it together, and just, you know, the pick six just killed him. What is your opinion?
Yeah, I actually thought that the Colts started out pretty well for about the first quarter and a half, and I was watching, you know, the condensed version of the game, the coach's film, which kept flashing the scoreboard, and I just kept noticing the point totals going up, and I was noticing how it was changing the scenarios, holding on to the ball a little bit more. They were having some issues getting the ground game going, which I think is going to be an issue in Indy all season long, although I was kind of interested in what I saw from Marlon Mack. I've seen people talk about dropping Dante Moncrief or, you know, being down, looking to trade T.Y. Hilton. I don't think that I'm at that point yet. I agree it's a down week. I agree that even though Alec Ogletree didn't really look that good on defense, that the rest of the Rams defense, you know, stepped up. Tolzien threw the same pick twice. I couldn't believe that he went back to the well like that, but he sure as hell did. I think there is going to be highlights for the Colts offense. Do you think Jacoby Brissett is going to give them a lot of a boost? We were talking before the podcast and I was telling you that he uncorked that 50 yarder to, I believe it was Moncrief that came back and got it. And I think people's feelings on Brissett are going to hinge on how you think about that play. Either he threw a fantastic ball and he's going to give them hope, or Moncrief came back and got it and there's still going to be issues. What do you think?
Well, I think that, Jacoby is going to come in, and I think that he'd be a lot better than Scott Tolzien. I think he just has better tools as a quarterback, and I think that he's someone that you can at least get some fantasy value out of. I think that a player like a T.Y. Hilton or Dante Moncrief would be able to hold some value with anyone who is playing quarterback and able to move around the pocket without getting too much pressure, because those are good receivers. You know, they have a good tight end in Jack Doyle. They have a good running back in Frank Gore, and he knows how to pick up the blitz. Even Marlon Mack is a good running back, and he should be able to hold some fantasy value this year. The Colts offense, especially with Pagano, are going to be able to move the ball. And, yeah, no one's going to come in and be able to replace Andrew Luck. But I don't think that this offense is going to be totally horrendous until Luck gets back. I just think that they ran into a defense that was ready to play. With the pick sixes, yeah, I mean, you kind of – it happens. You know, there's going to be some ways in which a team game plans you very well, and there's not much you can do. And unfortunately, the Colts offense played incredibly bad overall, but I think that there's better weeks to come.
Yeah, they got to move the chains. I think they only had two drives that were over four plays, if I'm looking at this correctly. And yeah, you just can't have that. They have to find, like I said, a little running room if, you know, they're not going to be able to sling it over the field, you know, to you know, convert a couple short third downs. I think, you know, they had the air let out of them when, you know, Hilton, you know, had a fantastic catch, reestablished himself, dove, and I think he hangs onto that ball probably 8 times out of 10. I just think there's better things to come, but, you know, we kind of expected these growing pains. That's why a lot of people were on the Rams as a streaming defense play coming into the week.
And that's the thing, you know, the Rams had made improvements this offseason. They had a coaching change. They brought in Sammy Watkins. They had made other changes that made their team a little bit better. And going up against the Scott Tolzien offense is someone that you're going to want to probably stream against. You know, it's not like he's going to go and be like Aaron Rodgers or Andrew Luck out there. He's probably going to be a lot more pedestrian. You probably have a better shot of getting fantasy value out of the Jets offense than, you know, having a quarterback like Scott Tolzien run the offense. But given the weapons that the Colts actually have, you'd expect that they would have a much better performance than what they put up in week one. So I would have to assume that Brissett actually comes in, plays week two as a starter, has a better fantasy week, gets the players a little bit more involved, and I believe that they're going to have a better chance. And yeah, they're playing Arizona, and Arizona has a good defense, but I think that with what's happened in Arizona itself, I think that the Colts have a good chance of actually being able to move the ball. It's not like there's anyone on the Cardinals that's going to necessarily perform offensively. So this could be a game that could easily have the Colts in charge offensively.
I mean, it's going to be a rough go because you think about the Cardinals and how they smothered Golden Tate, and, you know, Marvin Jones kind of, you know, slid out a little bit, but they weren't superstars by any stretch of the imagination. If Patrick Peterson and Honey Badger can hold down Hilton and Moncrief, like you said, you're going to be looking for Jack Doyle, who started off pretty good but kind of fizzled out. I'd take the under on this game, I think, is what my gut is telling me here.
Why don't we move into the next team that we're going to want to talk about, and we're going to move into the Bengals backfield. I would say that fantasy owners were kind of surprised to see that Joe Mixon was the third running back on the depth chart entering this week, and a lot of people expected that that didn't really matter and that he would assert himself and probably have a good fantasy week overall. Now, I was one of those owners that wanted to be able to think that he was going to be able to provide some value, but what are your thoughts on the backfield at this point in time, considering how well Giovanni Bernard looked compared to what Mixon and Hill were able to do?
Right, and you said it right there. Giovanni Bernard looked like the best player on the field for the Bengals. You look at the snap counts. Even though Mixon disappeared for quite a stretch there, he still had 22 snaps to Bernard's 29. Hill was down at 10. I think the interesting part here, when you kind of think back on the game, is Andy Dalton and the four interceptions, the fact that they had no looks in the red zone, really. So, you know, we didn't get to see the Jeremy Hill vulture snaps, or, you know, we didn't get to see if they wanted to, you know, try mixing out a little bit closer to the goal line. We don't really know. And I think, you know, Houston was supposed to be a tough matchup for Jacksonville, and Fournette kind of had a little bit of his way with them. So I'm not exactly sure. Hopefully the Texans come out with a little bit of a bug up their ass, even though did I see today Brian Cushing got suspended again, or was somebody messing with me?
No, he got suspended for 10 games for PEDs.
Absolutely. So, yeah, just kick him out of the league. But, you know, that could be another hole in this offense here. And I mean, I'm still a mixing guy. I think that in the long term, he can, you know, wrestle away the not only the top snap spot on the team, but probably end up looking better than, you know, Bernard. I don't think that's crazy, but I think throwing him out week one was kind of a risky proposition anyways. And if he got burnt, maybe you kind of deserved it. But I think at some point he's going to show his value.
Yeah, I think that Mixon's the player that you still want to own in this backfield. I believe that as the season goes on, he's going to show that he's the best back here. And, you know, the Bengals played terrible in week one. There was a lot of offenses that played absolutely terrible in week one. You know, when you throw four interceptions, you kind of take the running game out of everything because the game's getting out of reach. You got to keep throwing the ball. There's only so much that you can do to get the team back in it. So Giovanni Bernard, who's probably the best pass-catching back that they have, is going to see the ball a lot. And I still think that Mixon is going to be involved in PPR leagues, and I believe that he's going to have a better go of it and have more than, you know, basically a yard per carry. And it would be nice to see him be able to do it, but Baltimore does have a decent run defense, and we'll see what he's able to do against Houston. With Brian Cushing out of this game, it makes me favor him a little bit more. So
we were talking about the league, you know, where we were kind of trying to figure out my flex, and, you know, like Mixon led in touches, rushes, blah, blah, blah. Would you start Joe Mixon or Giovanni Bernard if you had both on the same team?
I'd still probably start mixing. I don't see a reason that you probably draft him in the top five or six rounds. Maybe you didn't, but a lot of the leagues that I was in, that's typically where he was going. He was going relatively early overall. I think that he's someone that you're going to have to start. And, you know, I don't think that you can just go and bench him just because of 1 week where the whole Bengals offense played terrible. I mean, right. The only player who had any value basically was A.J. Green, and that's because he had 74 yards. I mean, yeah, Giovanni Bernard had 7 attempts and 40 yards as a result, and he had 1 catch for 39 yards. It's not like, you know, if you take that 1 catch out, he's got 40 yards, and, you know, Mixon didn't find the lanes, but, and I don't think that Bernard's that good of an overall back compared to what Mixon brings to the table.
He looked good. That's what I'll say. And the other thing is, you know, I mean, that was 4 drives that ended on interceptions. Like I said, we're going to see what the hopefully, if Andy Dalton quits throwing interceptions, we're going to see what this offense looks like when it gets to run on course instead of, you know, being jarred out here and there.
Yes. Why don't we move into the next group that we're going to be talking about, and that is the Ravens. The Ravens have just lost Danny Woodhead for a couple of weeks. Buck Allen came in, got a lot of touches. Terrence West did. Joe Flacco didn't really throw the ball. No, they didn't have to because of the field position that they were able to get. And they wanted to control the clock against the Bengals. But what are your thoughts on the Ravens offense overall?
I mean, I think this is another scenario. I mean, we're on the other side of the ball here where, you know, the defense put the Ravens in a good position. The Ravens wanted to kind of limit Flacco given his limited work in the preseason, kind of ease him in. So why not only have him complete what, 9 passes? He was like 9 for 17. It's whether or not you think Buck Allen was a product of the scoreboard or, you know, the Woodhead injury. That's kind of going to depend on how you feel about him. I targeted him real heavy in a lot of my fab biddings. I went him over like a current Wynn Williams, over like a Kenny Galladay. I think, and I actually picked him up in the staff league prior to Sunday's game because I was just kind of intrigued, and that worked out really well. But he was a guy that I was targeting really heavy. I think the passing offense is going to come around. I think he's the better passing back over Terrence West. So I would lean on him. And I just hope that Macklin and Flacco get on the same page sooner rather than later.
I'm not as high on Allen as you are. And we kind of talked about this off the air. And yeah, he got a lot of touches, but we've seen what he's able to what he's done in the past, and not that I'm a big fan of Terrence West, not a fan of the Ravens offense overall in general. I do think that they're going to have fantasy relevance this year. I still think that Mike Wallace and that Jeremy Maclin are going to give you wide receiver 4 value probably. I think that Justin Tucker is still one of the best kickers in the league, you know, and Terrence West and Allen are probably going to give you running back 3 value. That's great for Allen considering that he's basically unowned in 95%+ of leagues to date. And obviously that number is going to increase if he keeps getting touches as the season goes on. But I just think that he got a ton of touches, but I don't know if he's really going to do much with them in the future, if he even gets that many. They obviously had the ball and they were trying to control the clock. If you get into a game and where you don't have 4 picks and you're not controlling the field basically in the opponent's territory every single drive, you're not going to be able to run the ball. And Terrence West is the back that they prefer, I believe. And I believe that Terrence West is going to be someone who is going to have a season similar to what he did last year. Now, when Danny Woodhead comes back in a month and a half, then I think that Allen's really going to just be relegated to the bench. He'd have to really put up a good, strong week, too, for me to even reconsider where I value him.
Hmm. I'm just not a Terrence West guy. I don't know if maybe I'm missing the boat here, or I don't know. Am I missing the boat? I think Woodhead is, even if he comes back in a month, is just going to go right back to being hurt because he always is. So I don't know. I think Buck is a guy that I could weasel his way in, and it's not like Terrence West has been, you know, super fantastic in the past.
I mean, it's not like I'm a fan of Terrence West. I think Terrence West is kind of a shitty football player.
but, at least you're honest.
Yeah, like, even when he did this last year, I was like, man, he's still a terrible football player. Like, you got cut by Cleveland. Like, yeah, I understand that, like, Cleveland didn't have a great offensive line a few years ago. And, you know, they had Duke Johnson and Crowell. And I was like, that's just a mess. And I didn't expect the Ravens offense to be something that I was expecting to find a ton of fantasy value out of. I was probably looking for bench players out of the Ravens this year more than anything. The only player I would have considered that I would have tried to start every single week was Justin Tucker, and he was going off the boards a lot earlier than I am. I was looking to grab a kicker. So the only player in this team that I'm probably looking to even Owen is Danny Woodhead, and that's if only if I own an IR spot. And, you know, Terrence West is the back I'd like to own there. If anything, I think that he's going to give you the best value of all the players on this offense at this current time.
I don't know that I don't know if it was Dalton just sucking, but that defense looked really good, and so I'm really interested to see what position the Ravens defense is going to put their offense in this year.
Yes. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about in the Ravens offense at all?
I mean, Mike Wallace thoughts, if you have any, or, I mean, I really like Jeremy Maclin. I've always liked him. I liked him better than DeSean Jackson when he was on the Eagles. But do you have any thoughts about where this passing game could go? Flacco had a ton of volume last year.
I believe that you're always going to have a ton of volume with Flacco. And Mike Wallace has continually, even in bad seasons, has continually been able to get the ball, and he's been able to produce yardage. He gets touchdowns, and you don't really expect it from him. You know, he gives you, like, wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 value every single year, and, you know, he's a bit underappreciated in that capacity, and I believe that he's going to be able to finish in that area this year. I even believe that Macklin's going to have a good year as long as he can stay healthy. I just think that at this time, now that Danny Woodhead is out of the picture, they're going to be able to focus on the receivers. It's not like they have a tight end that you really have to worry about. I don't really worry about Terrence West in the passing game. I don't even really worry about Allen in the passing game. The players that you're going to focus on are Wallace and Maclin. And I think that they're both going to be able to get you close to wide receiver 3/4 value for the season.
I agree. Would you rather start Jeremy Maclin or Mike Wallace this week if you had both?
I believe I had Mike Wallace slightly higher in season standings, and I believe that I believe if you look at my rankings that I have Mike Wallace ahead for this week as well. I just think that the number one receiver that they're going to focus on, this is Cleveland, that is. I believe that Cleveland's going to really try to focus on Jeremy Maclin and make Mike Wallace be the player that beats him, because I believe that if you take the talents of the two wide receivers, I believe that Macklin's the better complete overall wide receiver, and I believe that he's the main number one receiver in that team. Even though Mike Wallace has been in the offense, I believe that he's still not considered the number one to opposing defenses, and I think that that's a benefit for him.
Yep, and I had something else I was going to say, but I forgot. Oh, just, you know, I know that Cleveland played Pittsburgh really close in week one. Do you think that there might be a little deja vu for Baltimore in week two, where they might find themselves up a few scores and we see this Buck Allen thing again? Or do you think it was just a one game, you know, fluke, essentially?
I believe that it was more of a fluke. And I think that we're going to see the Cleveland Browns playing a lot better this year. You know, they've really tried to have that offensive line improve. They're really trying to stay with the running game. I think DeShone Kizer is going to be a really good quarterback for them. Corey Coleman, as long as he's able to stay healthy, is going to be good. I think that the defense has improved. I think that Hugh Jackson is going to be a good coach for them. So I don't think that we're going to see the Browns be as big of a rollover as people think in the past. And I also don't think that the Ravens' defense is all that good. I understand that they had a very good week last week, and I understand that they do have some good players. I believe that Andy Dalton put the Ravens in good field position rather than the Ravens' defense putting themselves in those positions. I believe that it was more of a Andy Dalton having a bad game than the Ravens having a good game.
I don't know. I like, you know, a lot of pieces on the Ravens defense, and I think Jefferson was a good addition for him, and I think good things. Good things all the way around, Ben.
I think you're a good thing all the way around, Evan.
Well, you are a smart man. God, I hated saying that, even though, you know, it was a compliment at me. Let's move on before this gets weird.
Fair enough. Why don't we move into the next section that's going to be talking about the pitiful Giants. Giants were so pitiful, I couldn't even watch them for the second half of the game. I would have rather watch nothing. I would have rather watched static on the static fuzz on the television, basically, because the Giants had absolutely no momentum on offense. The entire first half, they had no momentum. The second half, they didn't really. Is this the Giants being bad because Odell was not there, because they have a bad offensive line, or because both of those things, or was it just that the Dallas Cowboys actually played some good defense?
Man, I don't know. This game was, like you said, it was like watching paint dry. The people I was watching it with even commented multiple times how boring it was. I mean, they had nothing going in the backfield. Like, do you think they had more of an issue moving offensively because they didn't have Odell, or because Paul Perkins blew, Shane Vereen was... I'm interested in throwing a few bucks on Shane Vereen in PPR leagues because I don't think Paul Perkins is that good. Am I wrong?
I mean, I like Paul Perkins. I think that he's the best back that they have, and I believe that he just needs to keep getting the rock as much as he can. And I believe that Shane Vereen is the best pass catching back that they have, and I think that Vereen's a good overall player to still utilize. And McAdoo and that offense is going to be able to sustain a two running back team like that in different situations. I think that Odell not being there obviously hurt, but that offensive line play just it wasn't helpful for a team. They don't get running lanes, unfortunately. They're not good at pass blocking. It's the worst overall offensive line, I believe, in the entire league. They don't do any good things. They don't block for the pass. They don't block for the run. At least other teams are able to either run block decently or good, or pass block decently or good. The Giants don't do either thing, and it makes it tough to expect that there's going to be fantasy value. But the thing that you have to look at is they had some fantasy value last year, and they had the exact same offensive line, and nothing has changed. There have been no changes on offense other than the fact that they brought in Brandon Marshall and that Shane Vereen is back. They added Evan Engram, but outside that, no other changes to the line. Quarterback stays the same. Odell is still there. Sterling Shepard is still there. So why they wouldn't be able to be a better offensive team in some capacity for the fact that they added players and didn't lose anyone of value on the offensive side, I would say that that's a benefit for them. So I just believe that it was a bad week one. I believe there's better weeks to come, but they do have to address that offensive line in some capacity.
Well, I mean, Shane Vereen led the team in targets and receptions. So I've got a couple questions, and you don't have to go into huge answers here, but just a couple ones. I know we haven't seen O.J. Howard play. What do you think is the percent chance that Evan Engram has a better season than O.J. Howard does, or is, you know, a top 12 tight end? Let's put it that way.
I believe that Engram is going to finish better than Howard, only for the fact that he doesn't have to deal with the Cameron Brate type player over there. I also believe that because of the other players in the Bucs offense, you know, I believe that I personally think that Mike Evans is going to have a better fantasy season than Odell this year. I think that Doug Martin is a better back than both Shane Vereen and Paul Perkins combined.
Right. Okay.
That even DeSean Jackson is someone who's still going to have value. And I believe that Jameis Winston's a better fantasy quarterback than Eli. Because of that, I think that you're going to have to say that Evan Ingram's going to have more fantasy value for the fact that he doesn't have to deal with another tight end. And Eli's going to have to get the ball out. So you're going to have to get it to the tight end probably.
All right. Yeah. And my idea was, I think that at draft tables, I think if you would have told somebody that, they probably would have said you're crazy. So, I mean, let's extrapolate it further than that.
I've never been told I'm crazy. Ever.
I'm not even going to justify that with a response. Okay. So let's extrapolate it out. Like I said, what do you think is the possibility that Evan Ingram ends up a top 12 tight end this year?
Like percentage wise, I would say 35%.
Okay, no, that's a pretty good chance. Actually, I think that's before watching him on week one. So did that go up, down, or stay the same based on week one for you?
I would say it didn't really change in any capacity whatsoever.
I thought he looked we know Brandon Marshall almost went catchless. I like Sterling Shepard. You know, he got 100 targets as a rookie, and everybody was worried about the ankle injury stuff. It pushed him down draft boards. I think he's going to be just fine. But I think, you know, like I said, once Odell is back, I think Ingram becomes a really kind of interesting play here.
I think that Ingram's going to be a good player. I think they just need to have a better showing. You know, they can't come out and be as flat as they were on offense. They like watching the offense, just it looked terrible. It looked anemic. They were very slow. They didn't seem to have any momentum. They didn't seem to want to push the ball up at all. So I was a little bit surprised, and I think that they're going to have better weeks. It just, you know, it was not a good showing from the Giants offense at all.
Right. Okay. So they play Detroit week two in a PPR league. Would you rather start Shane Vereen or Paul Perkins?
I would say Shane Vereen.
I would too. So like I said, you got to be pushing Paul Perkins down lists, right?
I mean, I don't push Paul Perkins down the list only for the fact that I still believe that he's, like I said, the better player, but until I see any type of improvement on that line, it's going to be tough to say that they're going to be in running situations. I still think that he can get like 50 rushing yards a game, and he can get, you know, 3 or so catches a game for like 20 yards. I think he's still going to put up decent low-end running back numbers, but I just think that Shane Vereen has the better chance of being able to catch passing touchdowns. And if the Giants are going to be losing games, they're going to have to be using Shane Vereen in the backfield as a result. And I think that that will benefit the value. I still think that Perkins is the better player. And until we actually see them actually improve on the offense, it's tough for me to actually lean that way. So yes, you can say that you would drop him, but I'm not going to drop him significantly.
Fair enough. And you're the Giants expert, so I yield to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Why don't we move into a team that you got to see firsthand the other day, and that's going to be the Bears. Why don't you tell me what you think of the Bears offense, given the fact that they just lost Kevin White, that they lost Cam Meredith during the preseason, that their offense probably was one of the worst in the NFL coming into the season, and now they've lost their top two wide receivers. What are your thoughts on the Bears?
Yeah, Glennon was not inspiring, and I, you know, the name you've been hearing all week, Tariq Cohen, was definitely the lifeblood of their team. I think it's really interesting that the biggest knock on Fox as a coach is that he just toys with your emotions when it comes to running backs. And everybody was so just bought into him this year. I didn't really see it. I stayed far, far away from him. I couldn't see him as a 1-2 turn pick. So Tariq Cohen is probably the best pass catcher on the Bears right now. They're bad. I mean, and Kevin White wasn't even good. I was making jokes even when he was in the game that he didn't look good at all. He had zero talent. I said it looked like a Space Jam alien sucked it out of him. I don't know. And Kendall Wright was pretty garbage as well.
I mean, I think that Cohen's probably one of the best receivers that they have right now, so they're going to utilize him. I think that they're going to try to get him about 12 touches a game, and I think that he's going to probably end up getting you like 5-6 catches a game because of that. I don't think they're going to try to utilize him a ton out of the backfield, but I believe that they're going to try to use him in a different variety of plays. I think that he's going to be on the field for at least 75 to 80% of the offensive snaps because they just don't have anyone else. And I think that they'll line him up at wide receiver. I think they'll line him up at running back. I just think that he and Howard are going to be the two best offensive players on the Bears this year. And I think that the tight end that they have, which is
Miller, Adam Shaheen.
I believe that Zach Miller is probably going to be their third best offensive player, and they're going to have to utilize all three enough just to try to get three wins this year, which is probably all they're going to get.
I just got really excited thinking about Adam Shaheen. But, yeah, and Cohen was lining up, like, outside the numbers wide. I think it's something that we could definitely see. As far as out of the backfield, I mean, he's very shifty, but there was, like, Devondre Campbell had a play in the backfield where he probably should have gotten to him. I know he's a shifty dude, but I was talking to somebody about the game, and I think the Falcons just weren't ready for him, and they kind of got caught with their pants down and had to scramble to figure out what was going on, and that's why the game was as close as it is. So maybe if teams kind of scheme for him a little bit, it might bring his productiveness down. He's got shifty moves, and the thing I noticed when I was watching him is that he was always falling forward. He was always picking up another yard or two as he was going down, and that's definitely, you know, a positive. So there's a reason that everybody's been talking about him, you know, because I do think that he is a guy that is probably one of the better players on the Bears now.
Did you see that Jordan Howard was added to the injury report today?
I did not see that. What was the ailment? Did it list?
Shoulder.
Hmm.
He apparently had fallen awkwardly on his shoulder at some point in the Sunday game, and he was a late addition to today's practice, and he was a limited participant in that practice.
Hmm. Real quick, I just want to ask, and it's kind of a theory question. Do you think Tariq Cohen would have been this good if Benny Cunningham didn't get hurt? Or do you think, like,
Cunningham is trash, so I don't care about
it. It was just something I was thinking about. Like, it's kind of like the stars aligned for him. And like I said, I think the Falcons got caught with their pants down here. And I don't know that it's going to necessarily happen again. But I do like him as a player, like I said. But I don't think you can give him, what, 10 carries a game? I mean, he'd get demolished.
I think that he would be best used in, like, 6 to 10 carries a game and, like, 5 catches a game, which gives him about 10 to 15 touches. I think that he's going to be able to be utilized. You just have to be select with the type of run plays that you utilize him. Yeah, he's going to get hurt if they try to run him inside the numbers consistently. I just don't think that John Fox will probably try to do that.
So you think he could be Theo Riddick?
Yes.
Okay. That's the kind of what I was when you said those numbers, that's instantly who came to my head. And I mean, he wasn't available in any of my leagues, so I get really jealous. How many of your leagues was he available in?
Like 2 of the 4.
But, I mean, he was drafted in staff league. He was drafted in another, well, in a home league that I was in, he went in the fourth round. I kid you not. And this is not a dynasty league. This is, the league where I had to get my belly button pierced 'cause I suck last year.
What was that?
Yeah, you heard that. I don't need to repeat it. It happened. But what I mean is that there's implications for this league, very long-lasting ones that can cause mental scarring. And like I said, Tariq Cohen went fourth, and the dude was saying, oh, you know, you'll be saying at the end of the year that I told you so. I mean, I think the hype is maybe a little high, but like you said, if we're comparing him to Theo Riddick, I think it's deserved.
Why don't we move into the last team that we're going to be talking about, and that's the Seattle team. They had some issues on offense, obviously, playing in a tough game against Green Bay. Neither team really had a big offensive output, but were you a bit surprised with what the running backs for Seattle were able to do? And I understand that they don't have the greatest offensive line, but I was honestly a bit surprised.
Well, yeah, I think having Thomas Rawls didn't, you know, necessarily help them out. And Chris Carson led the running backs in snaps. I mean, I know he got a lot of buzz in draft season, but I think, you know, if Thomas Rawls is in there, the game script might look a little bit differently. Russell Wilson was not getting a ton of time, and I don't think a ton of the Packers front of their defense. I don't know if I'm alone in that. I think their secondary is probably a little bit better than what they've got up front. But I'm excited to see what Rawls is going to do in this offense. I mean, they've got San Francisco and then Tennessee, Indy. I mean, they've got a couple cherry matchups, so I'm going to be interesting to see how they get the ball rolling. In like your weekly ranks would you pit Thomas Rawls, given the line and given that he was hurt and, you know, everything like that?
Yeah, I have Rawls ranked as my 40th running back this week, and I have Eddie Lacy as my 37th. So, you know, I still expect Lacy to get the shares. I still think he's a better back, but I don't really expect any fantasy relevance from either of them this week. Like, in the staff league, I'm kind of screwed because I had banked on Eddie Lacy being decent this year, and I expected when I drafted Darren McFadden that Elliott wasn't going to play, and now I have absolutely no running back number two. Like, I'm kind of in a bad spot. So I actually had to pick up Shane Vereen in staff league, and that's going to be my number two running back for a while, I think.
Well, we just talked. You're in a fantastic position. Did you just say you had Eddie Lacy ranked over Thomas Rawls this week?
See.
Hmm. I feel like there's a karaoke bet somewhere in here, but we'll leave that for a second. I want to hear you sing Like a Virgin so damn bad. But, okay, so we'll just leave that running back conversation for a second. What about the receivers? I'm kind of nuts on Paul Richardson. I've been recommending him in deeper leagues. He had dang it, I just lost the snap counts. I believe he was tied for the team in targets and second behind Baldwin for snaps. And it's not like Lockett wasn't on the field. He was out there returning kicks. He was out, you know, he was out there, and Paul Richardson was, you know, handling the number two receiving duties. So are you interested in picking up Paul Richardson, or is this just my little man crush that I'm going to have to enjoy myself?
I think this is something you're going to have to kind of enjoy yourself. I still think that he could have some fantasy value, but I'm nowhere near as high on him as you are.
I think he's got great, you know, like, ball skills. He's got a very good presence of where he is on the field. He makes a lot of great sideline catches. He's got great feet. The one thing he also has is a really checkered injury history as well. But I'm a Richardson, you know, guy, and that's okay. We won't Eiffel Tower Paul Richardson. Do you think Jimmy Graham is also a good play? Or, you know, I was kind of out on not out on him, but I was a little lower than a lot of people seem to be coming into the season on Graham.
Yeah, I like Graham. I just I'm waiting to see what's going to happen to him. I think that he's still going to be a good player, but I kind of dropped him in my ranks a bit this week just because I think that there's other better plays, and I think that they're going to try to key on Jimmy Graham as much as possible and let the running game beat them. So.
Yeah, I mean, he did get a goal line look, but 3-4-8, he was kind of in the same boat as, like, Greg Olsen this week, of guys that you thought were probably going to have a good week, and then when you lost by 3 points, he was one of the first guys you were looking at.
Yeah, I think that Jimmy Graham was a bit of a letdown more than I had expected. I kind of reflected that in my rank this week, and while San Francisco could easily be a terrible team again this year. I kind of feel that they're probably going to try to improve and step up, and I'd like to see how they play Seattle. They always seem to play Seattle kind of tough. So,
well, I hope there's better things on the horizon for everybody. That weren't you down with me on Russell Wilson as like kind of towards the double digit range of quarterbacks, or were you higher? I forget.
I believe I was higher.
Well, so far you look wrong, and that makes me happy.
Well, I'm glad that I can make you happy. Evan, is there anything else that you want to add?
Pass.
All right, Evan, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what you're working on?
At FWFB on the Twitter machine. You can check me out weekly writing over at Razzball. Streamer article comes out on Thursdays. And like I said, I will be getting drunk and yelling at the TV. Sunday was kind of a weird thing actually being at the game, but I'm really excited to have my couch and my red zone and my beer that doesn't cost $9.75. So yeah, let's do it again next week, Ben.
Sounds good to me. I can be reached at BBrandis FWFB. You can find me throughout the rest of the baseball season on the Tuesday baseball show joined by Chuck Anderson. You can find me on the Wednesday show, obviously, with Mr. Evan Peterson. We will also be joined by Eric Mackey. You can find me on the Tuesday waiver wire show with Donnie Miller. You can also find me throughout the NBA offseason joined by Eric Mackey. So until next week, have a great football season, everyone.